Our teacher, a 20-something yuppie, asked me in class about my career plans. I answered, "I'm going to be a Catholic priest." He gave me a blank stare, snickered, and then became openly hostile, grilling me aggressively about my vocation. When he insisted that I prove God's existence by rubbing some of my Lord's water on his tennis elbow, I ended the harassment with my own openly hostile stare. Jesus tells his disciples to pray for more laborers for the field after he notes with pity, with compassion, the sorry spiritual state of those gathered in the crowd. Looking out over them, he sees diseased, abandoned, troubled souls who need the cure and healing of their Father's mercy. They are sheep without a shepherd, a nation without a purpose. And so, Jesus provides both shepherds and a purpose. Notice the pattern. Jesus goes around teaching and preaching, curing every disease. He sees the need of the crowd, is moved by compassion, orders his students to pray for vocations, gives them his authority over unclean spirits, and then they go around teaching and preaching, curing every disease. In receiving Christ's authority, the disciples become Christ's priest. They minister to God's people in persona Christi capitis, in the person of Christ, the head of the church. In effect, they are Christ's. We cannot forget this when we promote vocations to the priesthood, nor can we ever allow those ordained to the priesthood to forget this. The temptation to reduce the ordained priesthood to an ecclesial function, a job with a skill set, is not easily resisted these days. Our American penchant for pragmatism and egalitarianism moves us very easily to the conclusion that being a priest is merely acting as a priest. In other words, I am a priest because I function as a priest. If my function is my identity, then anyone capable of functioning as a priest can be a priest. Questions of a legitimate call to service, proper spiritual disposition, gender, marital status, willingness to submit to ecclesial authority, all of these are irrelevant. The only question that matters here is, can he or she do the job? But is this the pattern we find in Matthew's Gospel today? No. Jesus did not call the crowd to be laborers for the harvest. He called the 12. Jesus was not moved by political indignation at the treatment of marginalized groups. He was moved by compassion for troubled souls. Jesus did not empower his disciples to challenge entrenched structures of social oppression and economic injustice. He gave them the authority to heal, the power to make the troubled whole again. I'm absolutely confident that no member of the Sarah Club would treat a young man called to priesthood or anyone called to religious life the way my teacher treated me. But the temptation to clerical functionalism is more subtle, more seductive. It just seems right to our hard-working middle-class ears. It seems right to us when we ask one another, "What do you do?" rather than, "Who are you?" It seems right to assume that the job the priest does, pastor, campus minister, professor, is who he is. So I end with this question. Do we truly understand what we are promoting when we promote vocations to the priesthood?